You know what's true about this world? We like to celebrate flashy things. But what about courage? What about bravery? What about suffering? This is the place we give credit to what often goes unseen. This is the place we honor choosing grit.
Ready?
No.
Hey, y'all. Thank you to those that have listened to my last episode on intentional community, ladies style. I just last week had a conversation with some married couples, one married couple, one wife representing a married couple, some good people who are striving to practice this concept of intentional community while married. So super pumped to share that with you all. But before doing that, I want to take some time to delve into a little bit of something that came up in each of these conversations, but we did not nearly spend as much time on it as is needed, which is the topic of intentional community while suffering. Hopefully, if you're a regular listener, you've already learned something about growing deeper in relationship and community while suffering yourself, or even better would be how to better do that for other people going through hard things, because that's kind of the point of this podcast in the first place. But let's press in a little. If you did listen to the last episode, which probably you should just go do that now if you haven't yet, because this will all make a lot more sense. But in that episode, I gave kind of a general overview of my experiences of community and how I've gotten to where I am today. So for the sake of this combo today, I'm going to leave out some of those details and hone in on specifically what it's been like for me to walk with community through suffering. Honestly, I've been thinking a lot about this recently anyway, because as of last month, October 6th, this fall, I turned 30. And ironically, the fall that I turned 20 was when I got my first headache and when my entire health changed, crashed, and really my entire life changed. So when I think about the last decade, there are two things that come to mind. First of all, community, and second of all, suffering. Starting with my junior year of college, after a summer off to tend to and attempt to figure out my health, I returned to campus and moved in with a group of women. By the second week of the first semester of that year, I landed myself my first ER visit. And by the fifth, sixth week of that semester, there were multiple classes that I had missed the majority of, one I hadn't even attended in the first place. And after a second visit to the ER, I withdrew from all but one class as I was stuck in the most severe migraine I had ever experienced up until that point that I had no idea how to handle, what my triggers were, what could help. And for the first time in my life with that, I started having panic attacks and I wasn't sleeping. And to be honest, for that whole year, I was surrounded by a lot of community. I had plenty of roommates and, by God's grace, a couple of friends that really did intentionally check in on me. But while not really knowing what was going on with me, not knowing how to communicate it, and ultimately just really not wanting to show up to people while in this huge thing going on in my life and feeling like a really poor version of myself, I would often try to brush off what was going on with me, focus on something positive, etc., as that seemed to me like it would make me more appealing, allow me to have more friends, whatever. But in turn, I just felt disconnected in general from myself and what was going on with me, and in turn from the people around me. Eventually, after beginning to work with a neurologist and just becoming ultimately incredibly burnt out, I was kind of forced to come to terms with the fact that I could not keep trying to be or holding on to the Carrie that I was before. It was going to be a while before I was going to see that girl, if ever, again. So I had to face it. I had to face that my life was being completely altered by this thing, and I needed some time. I needed to wholeheartedly focus on it for a while and figure it out. Attempt to figure it out, at least. So this was when I moved home, and I braced myself for what I knew could be a huge blow to my social life. and started embracing this new season as a season of pouring my energy into figuring out my health. And then also, you know, trying to finish college, which was another thing I had going on. I specifically remember wrestling in the midst of these changes with the concept of who my friends were going to be and what my social life was going to be like in prayer one morning, when I eventually just let go and gave it up because I didn't feel like I had any energy to put into worrying about making friends with everything else going on. So I told God if he wanted me to have a community and if that was a need, he would have to bring it to me. Not long after that, on the first day of classes at my new school, which was down the road from my parents' house, as I took just a couple easier load classes, I sat right down to two classmates of mine who also didn't have friends and soon honestly became my study buddies and some of my closest friends, who became so essential to me finishing school. And when I was feeling up for it in this season as well, I started going to a weekly young adult gathering every Monday night. That was kind of just getting started the same time that I moved there. And although it did take a while, eventually in going to this gathering and seeing these people so consistently, I developed a pretty solid group. At that point, I would have been happy with just a couple of friends. I did not expect a group, but it turned out school was more manageable than I thought. Praise the Lord. I was making some progress with my neurologist. And all I was really doing was showing up. I, at that point, was really striving to just sit in this huge thing going on. I wasn't trying so hard as before to dissociate from it, which is a concept that sounds pretty simple, but showing up when you're in the middle of intense difficulty that feels way over your head can actually be incredibly difficult. Sometimes, I know I've mentioned in the past, this looked like going to class when I could barely focus and didn't have energy to say a word. And same with this social group. Part of me knew I needed that connection, and I felt like God was working there. But there were weeks I certainly didn't do like the weekly readings we were supposed to do. And I just sat there and took it in. Fast forward to today, I now have 5 years of pretty intense intentional community under my belt in the form of living in a house of women, committed to another for 5 years, and for a few years living and working with a group of people who are all striving to function as a family. There are a lot of moments of grace that I could share right now and reflecting, especially on the past 5 years specifically, but I'm going to hone in on what I would say was my worst week ever. The specifics are sort of fuzzy, to be honest, but I know that I was in my second year of service at a food pantry after undergrad, which I've mentioned before, living with two of my friends who essentially now feel like sisters, who were also a part of this program and who I was working with, while also being stuck in a rut of severe pain that I could not break. This was a week when I had already gone to the hospital to get a migraine cocktail I get often through an IV that generally had worked pretty effectively in the past with bringing my pain down and even if not that, at least knocking me out and allowing me to sleep. But this time, that was not the case. By God's grace, I had been given the freedom at this time to do whatever I needed to take care of myself in terms of my responsibilities in the working / full-time volunteer world at that point. So in this week in particular, I was resting at a local community member's house who was single, had a guest room, and offered her home as a quiet space for me when there was a lot going on where I lived at the time. And I remember coming back to her house after that first ER visit for recovery. However, when my head hit the pillow that night, I could not sleep. The next day, as I continued to not be able to really effectively rest, and in turn, my pain only got worse with that, I began to feel trapped, similar to what I mentioned in my junior year of college when my head first started. So I called, at that point, the director of the food pantry and my boss at the time, and the only thing I could think of was reaching out and asking him to pray for me. I had been alone by myself that whole day. Everything I had known to help me at that point didn't do anything. With that, my anxiety was rising. And I genuinely don't remember what he said, but it's a moment in my life when I clearly knew I was in need of grace, and I also needed another person to help me access it. Later that night, my two roommates at the time came over and asked if it'd be helpful to go for a walk, to take a little break from trying to get myself to sleep. Moving my body was not something that had even crossed my mind at that point, but when they brought it up and it gave the opportunity for a distraction and some time to spend time with them, I said yes. So we walked all over the place. And afterwards, we came back to where I was staying, ate something for dinner together, and watched the movie Cool Runnings. I specifically remember this, after which they prayed for me again to sleep before they headed back to their house for the night. I then went to bed, which at this point was in the queen-size bed of the friend I was staying with. She had offered it to me as an upgrade to maybe assist in the ability to sleep. And I had a second night with zero sleep. The next morning, I called my neurologist and my mom and concluded that despite really not wanting to do so, I needed to go back to the ER. This time around, my neurologist suggested I try a steroid and also magnesium. Obvious go-tos for me now when I'm in a serious rut, but at the time I hadn't tried yet. And praise the Lord, they did make a difference that day. At this point, feeling a break in my pain for the first time in days, and also just incredibly wired and awake from the steroid I got. For some crazy reason, I decided to return to work that afternoon. Not just to catch up on paperwork or emails like a normal person maybe would have done after getting out of the hospital, but to run a meeting. I really missed my coworkers and the rest of the interns I was doing this year of service with. I was sick of resting, and also at the time I was helping build a program that I was really passionate about. So I showed up that day, ran that meeting, and I did leave with a full heart and hopes of falling asleep that night. However, still wired from the steroids, now energized from seeing people, and especially after getting my master's degree, it's clear to me that at that point, my brain was completely stuck in hyperactive fight or flight mode. That third night when I went to bed, now having two hospital visits under my belt in 1 week, I did not sleep. My mom picked me up the next morning and brought me back to my parents' house, and literally having no idea what else to do and knowing my pain was already severe. So if this was ran the risk of making it worse, I probably wouldn't have been able to tell the difference anyways. So I went for a run, something I hadn't done in years, and sprinted over and over again as hard as I could to try to get out. For one, all this pent up nervous anxiety that I was carrying, and two, just to wear myself out. Thanks be to God when I got home, considering this was the most I had moved my body in years and also feeling some sort of release from that worked up state I was in, I fell asleep. So why am I telling you this? This is a week in particular, the first experience that comes to mind when I think about how necessary it is for us to have community. I needed people to cook for me or bring me food or just give me motivation to eat in the first place. Like I mentioned, I felt too weak to pray on my own and needed other people to do that for me. I eventually had no idea what to do in terms of my medication. My neurologist was someone I really needed. I had no desire to move my body, like I said, or go for a walk on my own without these friends showing up. I couldn't drive myself anywhere. I didn't even have a restful place to stay without the sacrifice of a community member. So whether it be my parents, my siblings, my neurologist, like I mentioned, my study buddies, eventually these coworkers I had, my roommates, I have so many stories like this when I certainly tried to make it without people and couldn't. People were a necessity.
So I am kind of going to leave it at that today. Just two stories about one, learning how to do this community thing while going through a lot, and then another about some real tangible ways that has looked like while in a really rough place. I could tell a number, so many more stories of ways I've even just felt maybe emotionally exhausted or overwhelmed when having dinner with a roommate or coffee with a friend gives my emotional health a complete 180 when I can return to facing similar really hard circumstances, and for whatever reason after that I feel like I'm doing okay.
Connection allows us, has the ability to bring us a genuine joy in the midst of crazy suffering sometimes. I do want to end by saying reaching out to people and being in community while really not in a good place, whether it be physical suffering or some other form of turmoil, major burden that we're experiencing, often does not feel natural. I will tell you, 10 years ago, it was the last thing I wanted to do. Praise God, today it's one of the first things I think of, but still, it takes grit. And certainly a part of doing life with others is sometimes experiencing disconnection. And certainly living life in community will make us more aware of our faults. However, what I want to say today and what I want to get across in every one of these episodes is that I really believe that it's worth it, even including all of those hard things.
Sometimes I have days where seeing my roommates for 10 minutes is what connection looks like, or calling my mom is the most I can scrape up energy for. And
we need solitude, but almost equally as much, we need to be living that out surrounded by others. And I really think that that would solve so many of our problems in this world today.
Before ending, I also want to give a shout out to my family. I have to say that having 5 siblings and 2 supportive parents throughout all of these changes as kind of a constant built-in support system in different forms, depending on where we're all at and what state we're in. But that's also been huge.
I'm going to stop now. Thank you all so much for listening. Again, as always, thank you so much for being here. I love hearing from you. Go to my blog, ichoosegrit.com, as you know, or you can always go back to the story of Carrie if you want even more details of kind of the progression of some things I'm talking about. If you're a fan of this podcast or this episode, first of all, I would be so grateful if you would share it. By far, the most exhausting aspect of this for me is promoting it, doing all the social media posts, et cetera, getting it out there. So if you think this is worth listening to, first of all, subscribe if you haven't yet, because that automatically notifies you without me having to do anything. So definitely do that. Also, yeah, send it to a friend and I would be so grateful. All right, I'll talk to you all soon, considering it is the weekend before Thanksgiving. Have a happy Thanksgiving and beginning of Advent and the holiday season.